This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
Well, here we go. The last day of the month of June and potentially the last month without one of the big four sports being played at any given time, hopefully for the rest of our lives, right, Johnny? Because usually you've got either hockey, football, baseball, or basketball. One of those leagues is playing pretty much every single day, and it has not been the case for quite some time. But as we turn the page and get into July as of tomorrow, maybe the NBA will be back. Maybe the NHL will be back. Maybe baseball will be back. We'll see what happens. Are you feeling optimistic? How are you feeling today?
Okay, you brought me down yesterday, Hayes, with a harsh dose of reality. But today, on the eve of Canada Day, I think we should be optimistic. And they're going to go. Sports are going to go. Basketball is going to start. Baseball is going to start. We don't know where the Jays are playing, but they're going to play somewhere. There will be challenges. There will be positive tests. There will be hurdles to clear. But I think the motivation of all parties involved will be enough that fans will get a little bit of normalcy once again in the upcoming month. I guess what is baseball goes first as far as actually playing games that matter most, then basketball, hockey, and then football in the fall. I think so.
And we'll hear. All right, I'll take it.
We're reading. You know. Athletes aren't happy, some are concerned, some are scared, some are bothered. But I think at the end of the day, in every sport, we're gonna have it going again.
Okay. Well, it's interesting how baseball now, outside of the Blue Jays are the only thing holding up them locking in, you know, their schedule, when they're playing, where they're playing.
Yeah.
It's the only team and we all know why. Outside of that, baseball appears to be ready to report. They're still dealing with positive tests, and there's going to continue to be COVID that shows up. I mean, it's not going to disappear over the course of the summer and into the fall. So there are going to be guys that come in and out of the lineup and different personnel from the organizations that likely have to leave and quarantine for 14 days or wait for a couple of negative tests before they get back into the fold. But 2 weeks ago, baseball was on life support. And now it feels like they're ready to rock, and they're going to show up, and they're going to play, and everything will be all good. And if I had to rank my confidence level, I guess I would go baseball 1 and basketball 2 and the NHL 3. But I'm going to put on an optimistic face. I hope it works out. I do believe all parties want to make it work collectively in terms of the big picture. I mean, you mentioned individually we are hearing different media types saying that they've reached out to different players in the NHL in particular, and they've said they don't really want to play or they don't feel right about playing or there's too much uncertainty or they've been left in the dark. But when it comes down to the economics and the peer pressure and it's a team sport and you're chasing a cup, I think when all is said and done, most guys will show up, if not all guys will show up. Fred VanVleet was just blunt yesterday. Like, Fred came out and was like, we know we shouldn't be playing. Now, that was more about the social justice issues. And, yeah, what's going on in the streets and the protesting and the movement down in the U.S. And at the same time, though, he's like, it's weird. It's weird being in this bubble in Fort Myers. It's going to be even more strange once they get into Disney and get to Orlando. But he's playing, right? Like, Fred's an example. He's being open. He's honest. He put a lot of thought into it, but he's like, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I should be here, and I'm going to play.
And he's like, we're in a marathon, not a sprint. The social justice issues that we're fighting for now, whether we play now or not, they will be here in 2 months or 3 months. So to think that by not playing, you're somehow going to solve it now, you're not. This is a long-term project that I think society is undertaking. So, and I think that's well said, is that, yes, I understand, keep the focus on it right now, but they got to keep the focus. Everybody has to keep the focus on it for years. So, and I think guys on teams, for the most part, guys on teams who have a chance to win are going to want to compete to try to win. And they'll have concerns and worries, whether it's health or fitness or social. And I think the guys on teams who don't have a chance to win or don't feel they have a chance to win, especially in basketball, would be more comfortable opting out because, you know, they don't have, they're not really going to compete for that. They're going to play
a few
regular
season
games.
Yeah,
they got no shot. They're playing an 8-game schedule. They're 4 games out. There's no way. So they're going to see, you know, they'll be willing to say, no, no, we're not going to go. And then you have the Brooklyn Nets. Have you seen what is going on with the Brooklyn Nets? Hayes, you might be getting a call to go to Orlando to play and suit up as a 15th guy. There is nobody. We already know that Kyrie and Kevin Durant are out. DeAndre Jordan, Dinwiddie just tested positive. Another guy opted. They have like 5 or 6 guys who have their best 6 players are opting out. I don't know what that roster will look like when it goes when they actually put it on the court. So there will be aberrations. But again, Brooklyn doesn't have a chance
to
win.
They weren't going
to
win anyway.
Yeah, no, but now you really want to play them in the first round, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a
if they can hold off,
that would be.
If they can hold off Washington, I mean, maybe Washington's looking at it thinking we can go on a run here, although I doubt it. I think it's pretty much been established. I think it's pretty ridiculous that Washington is even down there. I mean, they're right. So far out of it. They have to basically run off 8 straight wins and hope for a miracle. But, yeah, you do. If you get Brooklyn in the first round, it's a sweep. Like, that's what it's going to be. It's not even going to be close. It'll be a 4-game sweep. And it'll be over, and they have no shot. They would have had a shot with Durant and Kyrie Irving, as we know. I mean, the whole landscape of the NBA would have been different this year if those two were healthy and playing, and they wouldn't be just fighting for their lives in the East. They'd be sitting atop the East or close to it, but they're not, and they weren't going to be there anyway, COVID or otherwise. So, yeah, Brooklyn, they're just showing up. They're getting a participation badge.
They're not showing up. That's the point.
A lot of them are not showing up. But the team will technically be there.
Yes.
Someone will be there representing the Brooklyn Nets. But, I think it's – we're already hearing about what it's going to feel like. It's going to feel like a glorified pickup game. I think Norman Powell said that today or something of the likes. Nick Nurse admitting it's going to be different. It will be. It'll be very different. And I don't know – if it's going to feel right, I don't know if it's going to be thoroughly entertaining, if it'll be a bit of a dud, if we're all going to jump on board. I think a lot of it will be based on what your team does, right? Like, I think if the Maple Leafs and the Raptors go on a run, there will be a huge buzz in the city. The ratings will be through the roof. Social media will be buzzing. But if they just fade, which could happen, I mean, obviously the Leafs could lose to Columbus. That's sure. Basically a coin flip series. I think the Leafs are more talented, but Columbus is they're right there with them, and they have been all year. And the Raptors, like, if they get Brooklyn in the first round, they're going to win that. Like, they're going to win the first round, regardless of who they play in the first round, unless they drop and they have to play Philly, then who knows. But if they play the 7 or the 8 seed, they're getting through. But beyond that, there's no guarantees. They have to play Boston in the second round. They could get swept. They could sweep Boston. So we could have a situation here where we're waiting 4 months – and the Leafs are out in like a week and a half, and the Raptors are out in about 3 weeks. Like, that could happen, and then we
and
have to wait
not,
until January.
And this is not, you know, Mr. Pessimism, house on fire. Like, this
is
legitimate, absolutely possible, basically as possible as the alternative in each case. And, that'll be interesting. But I do think, I wonder, hockey players, like, we've seen basketball games, and we've seen basketball exhibition games, and there seems to be a greater ability for them to kind of maybe shut it down a little bit, treat it like exhibition games, whatever it might be, whether it's minutes played or the intensity of the defense, whatever it might be. And I think we might see some of that in the basketball before they start the playoffs. And I don't think we're going to see virtually any of that in the hockey, certainly not in the play-ins. I wonder what the hockey round robin will look like. The top 4 teams who are going to play each other as a warm-up for seeding before they get to the actual playoffs. I'm curious if that is noticeably different than the play-in round. So you have Columbus and Toronto just battling like crazy in a 5-game series to get to the playoffs. And then you have Philly and Boston playing the next game. Is that next game going to look like the Toronto-Columbus game?
No, I don't
or
expect
how
it will.
But how much different will it look?
I think substantially different.
Substantially. I'm guessing and almost not fearful, but I'd rather it not be that way. But I'm of the mind where it might get pretty different.
I hope they're smart enough to isolate those games. Like set up a date where, you know, if it's basically going to be almost a tournament, I don't know what their schedule is going to look like.
I don't think – well, if you think about it, Hayes, right, there's 4 teams. That'll be 6 games total for the whole round robin, right?
yep.
for all the teams to play each other. Six games total. That first round play-in series will take probably 8 days or so, maybe. 5 games, 8 or 9 days.
Yeah.
So you have to get 6 of those round-robin games in about a 9-game stretch. So you can't, unless you want to make them all in 1 day, you know, 2 a day for 3 days, I think they're going to get interspersed into the actual play-in games. So you... The idea of isolating those games, kind of having them on, well, don't let them be direct comparison to what else is going on.
No, that'll be possible. You put them first. You put them at noon, and you say, you're out of the way, go and play.
Yes,
and
opening act.
Yeah, of course. Like, if they don't do that, that's silly. I'm not convinced. They may not, because NBC's going to get involved and say, we want Boston at 8 o'clock, and we want Washington at 8 o'clock. They might do that, but if they're smart, they isolate those games, not necessarily on their own for a day while everyone else takes a break. But they play at noon, and you get out of the way, and then you build up, okay, now it's go time for the 3:30 game, the 7:30 game, the 10 o'clock game, whatever it is. That should be their mindset, because I would expect that those games will lack intensity compared to playing for your life. That is assuming that these teams that show up and all the players that they show up, and they do change their mentality that they may currently have, right? Like, if we look at what some people are reporting. Bob McKenzie said it yesterday. Bob admitted, like, he said some players just don't want to play. Like, it sounds like some guys are like, hey, it's the summertime, man. This is when I get off.
I don't get it.
I don't know, but I hope it's not going to show up is my point.
Listen,
they better snap out of it quickly. If they're going to play, play. Like, don't just show up and mail it in.
And I think they will, though. I mean, that's the nature of the athlete. But even before they get there. So anyone want to say, I don't want to play because I'm uncomfortable with the COVID safety precautions. Okay, everyone has their own degree of comfortableness there, and I'm not one to criticize or judge anyone. But if someone says, I don't want to play because it's summertime, excuse me, you just had 4 months off. And I read Frank Saravelli's article today. They basically said if they don't play at all anymore, then revenues would be about $1.1 billion short, of which the players would be on hook for about $550 million of it. Half of it. So you can say, I don't feel like playing, which is ridiculous to me, because don't you want to play? It's what you do. I don't care if it's in August. You're not going to play in November, so just get with it and go in August. Otherwise, you got to be ready to cut a check as a group for $550 million for this year alone, let alone what next year is going to cost. So I think it's almost naive to say, well, I don't feel like it, or I don't know, we're going to have too many games in short order. It's too... I get that. Get that line of thinking. I get the COVID thing.
Yeah, I get
no,
the COVID.
No complaints. But the other stuff, I don't know.
Yeah, that's. I hope you're right, but I'm not convinced you are. I think, again, it's one thing for them to say we have to show up, but it shouldn't be that. Like, if you're legitimately playing for a Stanley Cup and these guys have been dreaming of it their whole lives, it shouldn't be some sort of an obligation because we need to pay off, our TV partners and our big endorsers. But that, I don't know if that's going to be the case. Like, I hope when they show up, they go, it's go time. But them just showing up, that's enough. Like, that's enough. Like, there's going to be 8 teams that show up and are gone in a week and a half. And if they get swept, they get swept. It doesn't matter. Yep. They fulfilled their priority. So if they just show up and they're like, I'm not in the mood. It's not like they're literally going to go out there without equipment on. But you have to have a mentality. You've been there, Johnny. When you're playing in the playoffs, you know you're in the playoffs. The buildup has been there. You're dying to get at it. And the intensity is through the roof. I don't know if they're going to have that. Like, I hope they will, but I don't know if they will. And if you don't, you're out. Like,
you're out.
If you don't have,
and then you will be home.
Done.
To your point, you'll be flying to Hub City on July 25th, and you'll be flying back home on August 6th.
You're gone.
Literally.
Yes.
You're gone in 10 days, and you can continue your summer. It'll be a 10-day blip in your 7-month vacation.
Well, and that's where this team in
this
town,
go.
This team in this town has a real opportunity here, because they have developed a reputation, specifically the younger core, of guys who are immensely talented, who put up great regular seasons, and they have not been able to get it done in the playoffs, in large part because of who they've run into. They have not had their doors blown off. They lost to Boston in Game 7, back-to-back years. Boston went to the Cup last year. They've been one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the league the past couple of years. 3 years ago, when they were young and just happy to be there, they ran into Washington, and they took them to 6. I think 5 games went to overtime. But at some point, you got to prove that it's not just about the contracts. It's not about threatening offer sheets. It's not about chilling in Arizona or Sweden or Muskoka or wherever you happen to be. It's about actually showing up and saying, okay, it's go time and we have an opportunity. And I think they could really change their reputation in this city if they can run off a bunch of wins and show up with intensity. But if they show up, and I don't think this only applies to the Leafs, it applies to every team. If you show up and you're just kind of there and you don't look like you've got it, that's not going to go over well with people.
No,
like, if you're there to play, play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go over there, and doesn't mean you can't guarantee a win. I mean, that's why you play, and the other team's trying to win too. I'm not saying they have to win to prove, but if they go there and they get smoked in three games and they look awful, they are going to get roasted in Toronto, and deservedly so, because once you're playing, that's when it's time to go, and let's see what you got.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And you're not speaking about the Leafs alone, but maybe the Leafs with their history and their contracts and how they've arrived at this point, it adds a greater sense of urgency, of scrutiny, of a need for them to be at their very best. And their very best might not be good enough. You know, that's how it goes in the playoffs. You can be at your best and it just doesn't work out. But I think people will astutely be able to tell, is this, you know, their very best or something exceptionally close to it? When it comes to fitness, commitment, execution, all those things. And if they have it, though, because I do think there is a degree of variability this year, where not every team will maybe get to that level right away. I think once we get into the first round, certainly into the second round of the actual playoffs, then teams will be at it for a month and they will be in the hockey playoff zone that every team gets in. But that initial burst of getting to the Hub City, the one exhibition game, and then we go. And to think it could be over in 4 days, like a long weekend, all this buildup could be done. Three games, four nights, go home, it's over. I think not every team will ratchet it up to the same degree. And that's where the entire organization will have to be really good.
Yeah,
coaches,
it is. It's on the whole organization.
Sports science, but most importantly, the athletes, because that's who's going to win or lose it. That they're going to have to be at their very best and to give themselves a chance. And if they get that to that point, then they have a pretty good chance. And that's really what you hope for as an athlete. You got a shot, and they have one.
Yeah, once you get through that first round, maybe the second, because the second could feel a little bit awkward as well because the round-robin teams will be all of a sudden a part of
the program. Yeah, but you're not that guy. You're coming off a series.
No, you're not. I'm not
saying that. Yeah, but if you're Toronto or one of the four teams that win in the play-in series, you probably have a bit of a leg up game one or game one and two of the first round. You should have, we're at elimination tempo. They're at, let's get our legs, let's not get hurt tempo. We can take advantage perhaps for one game, maybe two, which would, again, bode well for Toronto if they're able to get themselves to that level.
Yeah, the pathway is right there for them. I mean, they don't even know who they're going to play in the next round. If everything plays out the way it's supposed to based on seeding and they win, I guess they would play the 2 seed, but that could be Philly. You could be playing in a best of 7 against the Flyers in the first official round where you should be favored in that series. Like,
probably
Philly had a great year, but I believe the Leafs are more talented. I believe Freddie Anderson's the better goalie. Alain Vigneault, I think you've got to give him credit over Sheldon Keefe. Keefe's a rookie coach. Vigneault knows what he's doing. So I would give the upper hand to him in terms of coaching. But that's what you could be facing. If you show up and you're ready to play and you're in shape and you find the intensity and you realize that we're actually here to go on a cup run, not just to fulfill some obligation, you get past Columbus, you might be staring at Philly in the first round. And there's no reason why you can't get through them, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, here we go. Let's see what we got now. Mm-hmm. Who's waiting for us in the next round? Because we've won a couple rounds, and we're feeling good, and the intensity will be there by that point. So
yeah, no question.
Right
and
in front of them.
And any scar tissue, and I think there probably is a little bit, any baggage that has come from three consecutive first-round losses, even though they have been admirable efforts in their defeats, I think even though the play-in series is not considered the playoffs, mentally for this Leaf group, if they win it, they will feel as though they have won something.
Absolutely.
And the weight of coming up short in Game 7s 2 years in a row and that disappointment, that will be gone. And I think that will matter. That'll matter to them emotionally. And that is another thing that if it works out well, the play-in round could be a benefit to them because they can get rid of that idea that we haven't won as a group yet. Even though it's not technically the playoffs, it will feel like a playoff victory mentally, and that will matter.
Absolutely. It will mean something. To the teams that have not done it before, and this Leaf team has not, it will count for something. It won't
And
count.
How's Freddie doing? I saw Freddie made some comments today, which is
said
great.
The right
He's back
things.
In Toronto.
Yeah.
Said the right things. He got out of Arizona before whatever happened with Austin and the group down in Arizona. Some of the guys maybe testing positive, whatever happened down there. But we've not really delved into it too much, and I don't know how much he's thought about it, but the need for him to be really good. It's redundant and obvious to say, but he's not had a history of great starts to his regular seasons here in Toronto, and that's essentially what he's about to have, a start of a season due to the break. Mm-hmm. He's coming off a summer off, basically, and say what we want about whoever on this team, any of them, the guy that matters by far the most is Freddie Anderson.
It's not even close.
Not even close.
It's not even close because he can single-handedly take them through rounds. I mean, at some point, other guys have to do the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
You're not going to win a Stanley Cup just based on your goaltender. You need everyone to chip in.
But almost more importantly, Hayes, he can single-handedly exit them.
Throw it away.
From the play-in round.
Yep. He
in
shows
a heartbeat.
Up and he's a mess. They're out, right? Like, that's going to happen.
Before he even gets going.
Yep, for sure. It's going to be on his shoulders. The pressure will be on his shoulders, and I think he's aware of that. I think he said the right things today. He said he wants to play. He's ready to play. This is what we do. Why sit around? Why throw away a season? Let's get at it. I like that attitude. Mm-hmm. I like that mentality. He's in town. As far as I know, only Matthews is the only guy not here.
It's wild, the disparity in guy. I mean, we know in Toronto because we're here. Like almost every single guy's here. Some are going through quarantine still, so they're not necessarily at the rink, but they're all here, except for maybe Austin. Like, other cities, a handful of guys only.
Yeah, it's like, weird, isn't it?
It's weird. Weird how that's gone.
Bunch in Columbus, though. I read today a bunch more showed up
today. I think 20 of them in Columbus or something.
Something like 20. So they're a younger team chomping at the bit as well. They're ready, and they're going to be performing. And, you know, Tortorella's going to be all over them in camp, and it'll be go time. So we'll keep looking towards that as we move on this afternoon. We've got Scott Mitchell coming up, our Jays reporter. We'll get into the Blue Jays and what we're waiting to hear from them in terms of their news and whether or not they actually can cross the border and come up here for camp and then eventually actually host games here. And, yes, we've got news from the golf course today. We're going to tell you about what happened between Owen Duffy taking on Kyle Dubas and Jerry D. It was a shocking outcome. Shocking outcome, and some are labeling it a choke job. So,
were they up 4-1 at one point
with like 10 minutes to go?
Oh boy,
not 11 because 11's doable. That happens.
Everyone We've seen loses. That happen before. I mean, that could happen to anyone.
That happens to everyone, man, at some point. But up 4-1 with 10 minutes to go, that's a totally different
That's hard
story.
To do,
very almost impossible. I think the numbers had that at 99.99%. chance they were going to bring that home. So we'll get you an update on that as well. With Mike Johnson, I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Now, back to Overdrive.
All right, the 4 p.m. hour brought to you by LeaseBusters. They will rescue you from your car lease. LeaseBusters, heroic, may be helpful, totally. People would love to take over your car lease for your lease relief. Go to leasebusters.com. Still no news on the hub cities by the NHL or this new CBA that apparently they have to work out between now and July 10th.
No, but don't they have to work out some of it by midnight? Just regards to the bonuses. We talked about the $300 million American in bonuses due tomorrow. Plus also contract extensions, which is a formality, but everyone whose contract expires today or today at midnight. Mm-hmm. So they have to at least get some language just to at least have a deadline extension on those things, but that should be obvious for contracts. But for the bonuses, Hayes, I don't know. Like, if you're Austin Matthews, you're due $15 million.
I'm taking that money, man.
I want in my pocket.
I would,
I'll
too.
Give you whatever escrow I'm supposed to give out of it. You can take your 17% chunk of it, but right now, I'm inclined, like, I don't want to hold up the entire process, but I'm inclined to want my bonus money right now. It's unfortunate that the business has taken a hit, but that's why I got a signing bonus.
Yeah, listen,
I was able to negotiate
that's the, way it works,
the guarantee
man.
Of it.
Yeah, the Leafs used that to their advantage, you know, trying to, mm-hmm. to move money around and try to get guys signed. And Matthews, Tavares, Marner, they're all getting paid. I think Nylander, I think yeah, Willie's getting a big one on
Jake
July 1.
Jake doesn't have some on his new deal?
Yeah, like, sure he does. So they're all probably wondering what's going on there. But we will wait and see. I mean, there it doesn't sound like there's going to be an announcement
today. That's not 10 days from now. That's got to be by tonight.
Well, and tomorrow, again, was supposed to be free agent frenzy. So we're going to do a free agent draft in about an hour. You and I will go back
and
forth.
I like playing a GM.
Yeah, so the two of us will play GM. No snake because there's only two guys. So we flipped a coin. Al's brother felt like he owed you one, so he hooked you up with the first pick. And we're going to do three forwards, two defensemen, one goalie, yes. one player who's 35 and up chasing a cup, so someone without a Stanley mm-hmm. Cup. And you can extend one offer sheet to an RFA this summer yes. and explain your reasoning behind that. So we'll get to that in about an hour. Our buddy Scott Mitchell coming up here in just a moment. Is he there, Mullen? Or I guess he's calling him. He's probably talking to him. They're both from Oshawa, I think. So,
yeah, you know what's one interesting? We can ask Scotty about this. And I was just thinking about, a lot to dig into about the Dome and all of it. But, spring training facilities are big facilities. Like, you can't have a hockey training camp at one solid ice sheet. Like, you need four going on. Yep. Can you have a spring training just at the Dome? Like, do you need more space than that?
I guess because of the circumstances, you're going to have to make it work. But
I guess you do what you got to do.
Yeah, if you go to Dunedin, like, I've been to JetBlue a few times, which is in Fort Myers. That's where the Red Sox have their spring training. It's incredible. There must be 15 or 20 different parks.
Right.
You know, and they play out of the big boy, but they use all the facilities during the spring. But this is a dire situation. And I guess you've got to make some adjustments. Speak of the devil, here's Scott Mitchell, our TSN 1050 Jays reporter. What's the latest here, Scott? What are you hearing in terms of the Jays and them waiting to hear from the federal government on whether or not they can even come up here?
Well, still status quo, still a big holding pattern. They've convened down in Dunedin today, going through testing. They're arriving there, and they're just still in wait and see mode. And the catch right now is what we've talked about for the last kind of week or so. It's the fact that the federal government and the Ontario government, they are hesitant to open the border to visiting teams. And this is the request and the ask from the Blue Jays. It's not just for training camp at this point. It's for, to play games up here. And once they arrive, this is where they're going to stay. And it's a real interesting situation because the perception of opening the borders to the Baltimore Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays and the New York Yankees to come in for 2, 3, 4 days, whatever it is, it's not a good look, and that's what they're working through right now. And there's still a whole lot of confidence that this is going to get done and the Blue Jays will be up here, but it's definitely at the point now where it could affect how many days they get on the field, because workouts are supposed to start around the league on Friday, and right now it looks like the Jays may be a day or two behind.
Scotty, give me your best PR spin then. So explain it to me, because I might be one of the guys who think, you know what, everyone else has to do with a 14-day quarantine. It's very different than a hockey bubble. They'll be in and out. They won't have time to really kind of lock it in for 14 days. So explain to me why they should be allowed to have visiting teams come in and out of Toronto like that. What's the Blue Jays' reasoning, logic behind their argument?
Well, I don't have an explanation for that, and I can't spin that, because even a week and a half ago, I thought Dunedin was going to be the spot, and obviously the surge in COVID cases down there changed the Blue Jays' thinking, and this is why they're in this position right now, essentially begging the federal government to lax these quarantine rules and the border rules for them. So, their pitch is that this team is, Canada's baseball team, they're safer up here. Every other team is playing in their major league park that we know of at this point, and they want to do the same. And obviously the border in the way is just a huge obstacle. And I don't know that you can make a case to allow these guys to come up here, because I think you can conduct spring training 2.0. You can bring the Jays up. You can have them in the hotel. You can test them. They're up here for 3-ish weeks or so. But visiting teams, I just don't know how you police it. You can test these guys as much as you want. You can tell them to stay in the hotel. Mike, you know as well as anybody, Toronto is a destination city for athletes. And, you know, you could say, hey, you know, somebody will recognize these guys out and then, you know, everything falls apart. I don't know if you're recognizing the 25th man on the Baltimore Orioles roster that is, you know, dying to hit a patio once he sees what's happening in Toronto, because we're doing pretty well here. So, look, I can't spin it and make a case for this. And it's going to be interesting to see what the spin is and what the explanation is from the federal government when this is finally approved, which is still the expectation.
With Scott Mitchell, our TSN Jays reporter. So I saw earlier this afternoon the Tigers signed Spencer Torkelson, the guy they took first overall in the draft. And I think the expectation is he's going to play, and he might be their best player. Like, they're terrible. He might step right in and bat cleanup or something of that sorts anyway. And we wait for Austin Martin to see what's going to happen in retrospect. I read your article that came out a couple of days ago about the impact these kids could end up having on this season, and we all expect Nate Pearson to perform at some point. Won't be out of the gate because they're going to manipulate the time, but at some point he's going to pitch, and I think he'll pitch well. But you suggested nothing will happen, nothing that would lead to Austin Martin actually picking up a bat and taking hacks at the major league this summer. Why do you suggest that?
I mean, look, there's a number of reasons, and even Spencer Torkelson, I'm going to wait and see until they actually put him on the roster in a major league game. But there's a lot of wrinkles to it. I mean, the first thing is, when you look at Austin Martin, yes, he's a very advanced college player. He comes from a great program at Vanderbilt. He's a guy that, you know, you could conceivably stick in a major league game, and he probably wouldn't look out of place. But when you think about the fact he hasn't played a game since March 11th, there were some rumblings that he was dealing with a little bit of an injury at Vanderbilt this season as well. Then you combine it with the fact, why would you start his service clock this year when there's probably a guy like Ruben Tejada, a guy like Joe Panic, a guy like Santiago Espinal who has AAA time? I just don't see why you would start his clock and really go down that road when you don't really have to and you don't know how he's going to play. It's going to be interesting when you see some of these teams and if they make decisions like that, if that becomes the norm. You know, I would really think for any of these kids other than Nate Pearson to really be an option, you would have to have a perfect set of circumstances in terms of injuries, the virus taking a toll on the roster, as well as the fact that they probably have to be in contention in August and say, look, this is our best option. Other than that, I just don't know why you'd start his service clock when you really don't know what he can provide. And a double-A assignment would have been aggressive for this kid right out of the draft.
And that makes so much sense to me as a sports analyst, but as a fan, you're like, I want to see the first round pick. I want to see him sign. I don't care about the service clock, but you care, whatever it is, 7 years from now when he is able to leave a year earlier than you wanted him to. So that does make sense. Although we had his coach on, and his coach was quite bullish on his ability to step in right away. So we shall see. I was asking early, Scott, they may have to do it because they will be here up at the Dome doing their summer training, spring training 2.0. What would be different about the facilities at the Dome, one field, one kind of just one general ballpark that they would have to try to do their entire spring training rotation in? Would they be limited in any way because they don't have the 6, 8, 10, 12 diamonds that they would have down in Dunedin?
Well, it's not ideal. You know, there are probably some ways they're going to have to change things up. The easiest thing is they'll probably just 60 players or 58 right now, they'll separate them into two groups. And they'll do two different sessions to get these guys on the field working out. And that's not a problem when you do it over the course of a day. And I think, but yeah, logistically, you know, you don't have gang mounds. You don't have, you know, all of the batting cages that you do down in Dunedin. And, you know, we were down there in February, which feels like about 10 years ago now, but even with their revamped, facility that the minor league facility, it's absolutely beautiful, and they've got so many resources down there. So that's why they wanted to go down there originally, because you're right, it is ideal down there, but they'll be able to make it work with 58 players. You put two groups, you know, one in the morning, one in the afternoon maybe, and then you go from there. It's just they'll have to structure things a little bit differently, but you know, this whole thing we're going through right now is structured differently, and teams are going to learn on the fly what they can do, what they can't do. And every single major league team is doing it in their home ballpark. So it's essentially going to be a glorified pregame setting where you take BP and they're doing infield, outfield, and, you know, the pitchers are out in the bullpen, and, you know, they'll do their best to get ready for this 60-game sprint.
You mentioned it, 58 players. They had the ability to bring up 60 in the player pool. Leaving those two spots allows for some flexibility. Maybe one of them would be Austin Martin if they lock him in just to make sure that he's around the club or doing something and you know, working out and seeing pitches and so on and so forth. But how much flexibility do you think that allows for, and what do you see them potentially doing? Let's say Martin doesn't sign and they have two more spots that they can fill. How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I think Martin would be one of them. And going back to our previous conversation, I mean, I hope they use this guy. It would be a great story. But, you know, it's just the odds are against
it's not their MO. That's not how they operate. Yeah. They're not going to do it.
Yeah, they're a very pragmatic organization, very, very conservative in terms of their promotion. I just don't really see a reason. But it's interesting. We're going to see there's going to be a lot of conversations like that across baseball with a lot of prospects. And, you know, it's going to depend on team circumstances, things like that, and how ready they think these kids are. But so I expect him to be added when he's signed. And now that a couple more of the top five draft picks got signed today and yesterday, he should be the next domino once Scott Boras figures out what the market is. So I would expect he's added to be around the team. And then really they wanted to leave a couple spots open. You don't know who's going to be released around baseball. There could be some veteran guys. If you lock in that 60, the only way you can drop down is to release a guy. So they just wanted to have a little bit of flexibility. They don't know what's going to happen with the testing. They're expecting a lot of positive tests. So having those two spots, you could conceivably add, say, a second baseman if all of your second basemen are all of a sudden on the COVID-19 injured list. So it's just a little bit of flexibility, but I think Martin will get one of those, and then you'll see likely probably a veteran guy signed at some point once they figure out where they need depth.
Scott, any chance that we've heard different players around the league, you know, opting out or not going to play, whether it's Zimmerman and Washington or whoever it might be, any chance of any Jays not willing to play this summer?
Well, we asked Mark Shapiro that on Friday on the conference call. He said no, he hadn't heard and didn't expect at this point. Obviously, that could change. I think when you look at the Blue Jays roster, though, it's a young group of kids. They're all going to want to play for the most part, and a lot of them have something to prove, too. When you look at some of the guys that have opted out, they've made their money a little bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's health concerns, and I haven't heard of anyone with any health concerns on the Blue Jays side. You know, it's going to be interesting. Dave Hudgens is their oldest coach. You know, we'll see what happens, you know, if he's got any reservations about this when we're finally able to talk to these guys. But, yeah, at this point, no. But I guess you never know. And really the interesting part is once players start getting into the testing and they start seeing the protocols, you know, does somebody surprisingly opt out after saying, hey, look, I don't know, like what's going on here. I don't feel safe. So we'll see. I think you might see a little bit of that across baseball as we get into the next kind of 2 weeks here.
All right, Scotty. Well, we'll see where it goes. Hopefully they start playing at some point, and you'll be all over it as always. We look forward to it. We'll catch up down the road. Thank you for doing this.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Scott Mitchell, our TSN Jays reporter. And, yeah, we're still waiting to hear. I guess the Jays are waiting to hear from the federal government and how it's all going to work out. And I think at the very least, they're likely going to be able to come up and have this three-week
That's okay.
camp. Yeah, as long as
there'll be no public outcry for them to come and get locked in the hotel for 3 weeks. Absolutely not. I asked Scott to give me, spin it, whether you believe it or not. Give me the argument that we should allow visiting teams to come in here for 3 days at a time. And if the rules don't change, whereas the border doesn't open and other restrictions don't ease for the general public, I don't know how they work around that. I just don't know how they do. And he's right. Like, no one in Toronto is going to recognize the 25th man on a roster, you know, the fourth string shortstop who's out having a beer at Hemingway's. Like, it's not going to happen. So
and that guy's going out. You know,
and that guy's getting after it every time he comes in. So, I think the government has tried to be smart about what they allow sports teams to do because we are in such an unusual position. They don't want to look like they're catering to the athletes. They kind of really worked to try to create a hockey situation that would not affect the public in any way. I don't think I'm able to do that for baseball. So I'm not sure. Like Scott seems to think it's a foregone conclusion that they will get it passed, that they'll be allowed to play up here. I just don't know. I want to hear that press conference. Well, I'd like to hear their rationale.
Yeah, me too. I think it likely will for a couple of reasons. One, I think they're gonna, you can roll your eyes at this, they're gonna sell this as an essential service, that this is the distraction Canadians and Torontonians have been waiting for 4 months. And the Jays coming back and playing at the Rogers Center, civic pride, blah, blah, blah. It may fall on deaf ears. But also, what I said yesterday, I think the peer pressure will be there. It would be, they would look at it, I think, maybe politicians would look at it as a sign of weakness to turn this down. Where I would say that would actually be a sign of strength. That would be you saying, we don't allow anybody to determine our rules. And I don't care how powerful you think you are, Blue Jays, Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, Mark Shapiro, whoever, that this is our playground. We make the rules, and we're going to abide by the rules. But I think they would look at it maybe the opposite way. And I think you look at the city of New York, and it's not just because they're doing it that you have to do it, but clearly New York is going to allow this to happen. New York is allowing the Mets and the Yankees to play at home. So teams are going to be flying into New York and playing at City and playing at Yankee Stadium. So. Yeah.
And New York also has a state quarantine mandate.
Exactly.
So if
that
you come to Florida as a person, you have to quarantine. But if you come to Florida as an athlete, you don't.
So they're clearly going to waive. So that would be the argument.
Has been there.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean the Canadian government has to accept it. But it will be, you know, almost like a court of law. Hey, it's happening somewhere else. And hey, we don't want to look. We don't want to be the only team. We already get hit enough because we're that team that's on the island up in that, you know, northern country. Don't highlight that even more. Don't amplify that insecurity even more.
You're right, and I can hear the
that's
explanation. I can hear it, but we've not mentioned the primary point of the whole thing is safety.
Yeah,
because you're essentially foregoing safety for these other reasons that you're trying to suggest.
Absolutely, but you can make the same argument, not as extensive, and I don't think as solid, but about a hub city. About letting sports teams convene in general throughout the country, which is what they're doing. Listen, at some point we've got to get back to life a little bit, and we've got to do so with diligence. We've got to do so with smarts. But I like the way we're trending, and I don't think it's going to be all thrown out because the Yankees come to town for 3 days, right? I think you also have to be a little bit realistic here. I don't think a team's going to come in and all of a sudden we're going to have 1,500 positives the next day. You know, or seven days
later.
Yeah,
you know what, though? You never want to go worst case scenario, but it's if there's one outbreak that is caused by an athlete at a bar and it gets to 30 people, which can happen.
It can. It's happened elsewhere in the world. Yep.
I'm
sure it's happened here in our country. Not an athlete necessarily, but one person. Listen, there's that nail salon in Kingston that was hit significantly with an outbreak. And obviously someone came in there and one person had it. And before you knew it, there were, I think, dozens of people that had it. We'll come back. We'll get you an update on what happened up at TPC Osprey Valley. The O-Dog, James Duthie. I'm concerned about those two. I'm concerned about the relationship. And Jerry D will join us in about 20 minutes. And we're going to have our UFA draft, which should have been free agent frenzy tomorrow. We'll get to that around 5:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, the 4 p.m. hour brought to you by LeaseBusters. LeaseBusters will get you out of your car lease today. It's as easy as pie a piece of cake. Avoid penalties and early termination fees. Visit LeaseBusters.com. Again today, there are some reports circulating. Every few weeks, this comes up. Antonio Brown is connected to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think it was Diana Russini from ESPN who came out and doused that with water quickly and said her sources are indicating that's not true. And I don't see why it would be true if you're in Tampa. You've already got enough turnover, and you've already got enough talent. You've got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who are two of the best wideouts in the league already. And you brought in Gronk. You've still got O.J. Howard. You've drafted a running back in the first round, I believe, or at least early second. You got Brady. You're loaded. Like
there's only so many balls to go around.
Yeah.
I mean, like you need to bring in. That if you didn't have assets at those positions, then okay, you know what? You examine whether Antonio Brown, the football player, is worth Antonio Brown the off-ice distraction. But if you have off-ice, off-field distraction, but if you have players that play that position, I know you probably could use that energy, that money, those assets elsewhere to improve your team.
It
so,
just, yeah, like yeah. I get the talent. I understand it. But you're clearly dealing with a guy who's told you and has proven to you he's difficult to trust. Like, he's very difficult to trust. And if he's got his life back together and he's back to wanting to play football, like, remember how big of a gong show that was? That was less than a year
ago.
Was that a year ago?
Real Hard Knocks with the Oakland?
Yes, with Oakland.
With the feet and the helmet
yes.
and all of it?
That was this past season.
And
that
then after
like
he was released, it got way more serious. You know, real world stuff with, you know, things that were going on in his personal life. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you want to make sure that he's a healthy guy in a place to even to play football, let alone whether he fits on your team. So.
Yeah, and I don't dispute he can still play, man. Like, if he wants to play and he's healthy, he's still a stud. Like, he's in his 30s now, but he is, when he was rocking, there was a time when he was the best wideout in the league. Like, he was absolutely the best and most electric wide receiver in the league, although that's now 3 years ago. You know, and every year counts that much more in the NFL. And if you've been gone for a year, but it is a league that, man, they love talent. And they will make exceptions. And
they'll put up with some stuff.
Yes, they will.
If you can play.
Yes,
they will. You can ball. Just win, baby.
So I wouldn't be surprised at all if he got a crack back in the NFL somewhere. Just it doesn't make sense to do it in Tampa. And Tampa's... Maybe they're lying, but they're telling ESPN that's not going to happen. All right, Jerry D coming up. We'll get you the full update on what happened today. Team Duffy up against Team Dubas up at Osprey Valley. And we've got our UFA draft at 5:30. We'll get to that as well. We'll explain it more in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.